Good evening. Such a joy to be with you this evening. I'd ask if you turn with me to 1 Peter and chapter number 4, if you would. 1 Peter and chapter number 4. It is a joy to be with you and just a few weeks that we've been here stateside. It's been a blessing to be here visiting a family and churches and been here for about 7 weeks. We're flying back Tuesday from Kansas City, so I'd ask you to pray with us about that and getting ready for the summer activities and events there in the churches and ministries. And so we're thankful and excited for that. Good to see Brother and Mrs. Smith, and what a blessing it is to see their faithfulness and many of the faces as well that we recognize and developed relationships with over the years. And then it's been a huge blessing for our family to be with family here, Pastor Weiss and his wife, my sister, and the kids. Good to see them. What a blessing it was to hear them sing. To testify of the goodness of God. It's not an accident why you go through what you go through, and it's your burden in praying for Bev's health and all the ones that understand that situation. I appreciate your prayers for her. 1 Peter in chapter number 4, if you would. We'll read the first 11 verses this evening. I always know when it's about time to go back to the field when I put my suit jacket on and the buttons no longer fit. So it's a tell that it's time to head back home. Been home for about the last month with my mom and dad and grandpa, and they fed us well. Let's just put it that way. That's my mom's spiritual gift, is hospitality through food preparation. And my wife and I joke with her often that we could help with the groceries, we could help with the food prep, we could do something to help. And there's a really nasty, nasty thing that has been created over the last few years. I don't know if any of you take advantage of this, but there's a thing through the Walmart app that you can order all your groceries and then have them sent to your house. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. My mom just sits there and just thinks and dreams up of all the wonderful things that she could prepare and offer us. And then the next day it's delivered to the house. And what a blessing that is, not only for her but for us. You only have to feel obligated to help her with some of that. And so that's been good. 1 Peter in chapter number 4, if you would, read the first 11 verses. The Bible says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men," not referring to Christ, but ourselves that have armed ourselves of the mind of Christ, "but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." And I tell you, with that verse, we need to pray earnestly for our country. We need to pray for not only riotous living as we live in excess, but then also then the excess of rioting when things don't go the way that someone might think that it should go, right? Verse number 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch in prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever wondered, just as you come to church week in and week out, just as you minister to the Lord in the different aspects of the ministry and whatever burden or service that you feel, have you ever wondered, what's the point? Have you ever asked yourself, what is the point of being saved? Why am I here? And why doesn't God just take us to heaven once we get saved? Now, Paul had that question even in and of himself, and he says in Philippians 1 and verse number 23 through 25, he says, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. How many would not acknowledge that and that hope of eternity and that hope of us seeing our Savior one day? But he says in verse number 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Not for me. I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm safe, you might say. He says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Over in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, many of us can quote these verses, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you continue reading verse number 10, you'll notice that he calls us to something bigger than ourselves. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is them? The good works. Colossians 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says it one more time like this in Titus 3 and verse number 8. He says, this is a faithful saying. Notice that he said it multiple times. Almost in every book, he says that we ought to walk worthy of our calling. We ought to walk worthy and fruitful of every good work. He says then, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So not only are we called according to his good works and then unto his good works, we should be fruitful in every work. We should then maintain good works, because these things are good and profitable unto men. I want to preach a message this evening that I hope and pray will be a blessing and a challenge to our heart. Saved to serve. Saved to serve. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening, thank you so much for your grace in our lives. Thank you for beautiful singing, and just as all the requests were made, how you knit each song together, Lord, into this beautiful program that stirred our hearts and excited us for your work. Lord, it reminded us of your goodness and your grace in our lives. And pray, God, that as we share your word, that it would be as well an encouragement and challenge to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I see three things here this evening through the passage of Scripture that we read that I hope and pray that as we go about our days and our weeks and our months of service, our years of service for the Lord, and I pray that if we're starting that or if we're what we feel like are almost finishing that, I pray that as Paul beckoned us in many scriptures that we would finish well. That we would understand our calling and we would understand that this is a calling that is sacrificial. This is a calling that is something that is not of ourselves, that is not selfish, but rather it's always meant to bless and encourage others around us. And so as we look at these three points, I would ask you to consider, as you're saved this evening, and I pray that you are, if you're living in the service that God has called you to, first of all, you'll notice in verses number 1 through 3, you'll see that we ought to be serving through suffering. Serve through suffering. Now, that's not a very common way to explain what we're doing in this Christian life, but can I connect it to our everyday life this evening? Because all of us go through struggles, all of us go through trials and tribulations, all of us in some way or another suffer or are suffering. And can I tell you that in verse number 1, the Bible says that Christ also suffered, and he suffered for us in the flesh, understanding our trial and understanding our affliction of the flesh, and he did it all for us. And then he calls us to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind of Christ. So here we understand that Christ did something that was greater than himself, did something that was as God had loved us. He sent him into the world to become that supreme sacrifice for us, and then as he did that, he accomplished the good and great works that only he could do in his flesh as he was being God. And you understand then that as he was doing that, he demonstrated all the fruit of the Spirit that God calls us to have in our lives, and yet with that he endured great suffering. Can I tell you that your own personal suffering is meant to strengthen your walk with God, and then it's meant to glorify God to those around you based on your response to the situation? I'd like to turn your attention to Romans in chapter number 8. So many of us, we know the more common verse in verse number 28, where the Bible says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are called according to his purpose. Now, I think it goes without questioning this evening that we love God, right? This evening, we would agree with that. We would all say that we love God. We're here on a Sunday night. We're here voluntarily. I don't believe that anybody twisted your arm to come this evening, and yet you understand that as you go through your life, that if you really and truly love God, you'll understand through a godly perspective that the things that come about in your life are meant to work together for good. Now, does that mean everything's good? Does that mean everything is just grand and everything is just wonderful and everything is without pain and everything is without suffering? No. Paul himself suffered so many different trials and really many of them we can't comprehend because we don't have any way of relating to them. How many of us have ever been shipwrecked? How many of us have ever been a night and day in the deep? None of us, right? And I've experienced a little bit of turmoil in the ocean, and I don't like it. I'll tell you that much right now. I've went deep sea fishing a couple times, and I've left each time not liking it. And then someone convinced me again to go try it out, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe third time's a charm, and nope, it wasn't. It was terrible. You know, I do not like it at all. There's not enough Dramamine in the world that has ever made me enjoy the choppy seas, and maybe it's because we never caught any fish. There's no amount of barracuda in the ocean that's ever going to convince me that it's enjoyable me chumming the waters. You understand what I'm saying? Now, praise the Lord, I never got that far, but I did have to take a lot of Dramamine. So you notice that all things work together for good. And I want you to turn your attention even up a few verses in verse number 24. You'll see then that he says and even asks, for we are saved by hope, but what hope that is seen is not hope. And for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if ye hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? How many of us in the middle of a trial really understand the purpose of that trial? How many of us, as our faith is being tested, can really look at it with clear vision and say, man, I really love this. You know, this is a great experience that I'm having. This migraine that I'm experiencing, Brother Michael, is fantastic, right? I mean, you said that this morning, didn't you? I heard you. I mean, you were saying that this morning, right? It's amazing in our life that we go through these trials, and there's so many times that we don't understand what's happening, but can I tell you that God's grace is sufficient for us? Can I tell you that on the flip side, on the other side, as we come out of that trial, we can look back if we have the right perspective and we can see the good that God is producing from that. It says in verse number 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of Christ, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, how many of us have ever cried out to the Lord with that groaning that could not be heard? Maybe words are not coming out of our mouth, but from our spirit, from our heart, from the deepness of our pain, from the deepness of our suffering. Can I tell you that God hears our pain, that the Spirit ministers to us and helps us in our infirmities, and you don't go through your trials just for your own benefit, but can I tell you that the trials in your life are meant to grow you for the benefit of others as they see God in you? Do people see God in you in the middle of your trial? Do people hear of God's grace while you're in the thick of it, while you're battling? Can I tell you that so much of our influence, so much of our service comes from what other people see and perceive and hear in us? It's not even something that we're being intentional about, maybe like teaching a Sunday school class or going door-to-door soul winning or something like that. It's more so our reaction to said trial that then is producing that service in the eyes and in the hearts of someone else. Your service through suffering is meant to bless others because they can see, wow, there's joy there. Wow, there's patience when you don't understand everything. I don't know how many of you have ever visited someone in a cancer ward that has Christ as their Savior, and man, you know their body is in pain, their body is riddled with cancer, but yet they have a smile on their face. All the doctors and nurses marvel at their strength, and can I tell you, that doesn't come from someone that doesn't have the peace of God in their life. That doesn't come from someone that doesn't have hope. That comes from someone that understands that pain through suffering is meant to serve and bless others. Do you have pain tonight? Are you suffering? Can I ask you this evening to use that to serve? Secondly, look if you would in verse number 7 of our text. You'll notice Peter gives us several things, and I'll read verse number 10. The Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Can I tell you the second thing this evening? Not only should we serve through suffering, but we should also serve through stewarding God's grace. Serve through stewarding God's grace. He calls us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That doesn't mean that everything has to be going according to our plan. That doesn't mean that everything has to be peachy or perfect. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work." Now, it's this grace of God that we have been saved by through faith, and we understand that His grace is sufficient for us on a daily basis. It renews, and that portion of grace is available for all of us each and every day. But can I tell you that we should take that then, and we should be a blessing to someone else through it. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." If you'll notice in the verses ahead of verse number 10, you'll notice that Peter tells us that there's some things that we got to get rid of in our life. There's some things that we got to clean up. There's some ways of life. There's some ways of thinking. There's the ways of walking that we needed to change so that we can truly be servants of the manifold grace of God in our lives. You'll notice, if you would, verse number 7, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch in prayer." If we're going to be true servants of the manifold grace of God, we ought to learn to be vigilant and watch in prayer. What a blessing it's been to be with Pastor Brian and Beverly this weekend, and much of the time has been much like the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Reflecting on God's goodness, reflecting on God's grace. Many intentional opportunities to pray together, to rejoice together, to cry together. Can I tell you that as we strengthen each other in the Lord, what we're doing is we're making known our burdens one to another so that then we can carry those burdens in prayer, so that we can be watchful in prayer one for another. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse number 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." I dare say that if we have a prayer list, that our prayer list ought to be tenfold what it really is. Why? Because many times our prayer list is very superficial. Pray for so-and-so's toenail. Pray for, you know, someone traveling. Now, all these things are worthy things of prayer. But how deep do we go in our intercession in prayer one for another? How well do you know the person next to you in your church? It shouldn't be a place of gossip. It should be a place of blessing through prayer. It should be a place where we understand and recognize each other's burdens so that we are truly caring and then carrying each other's burdens in prayer. When's the last time someone talked to you about a certain need, about a certain burden, and you stopped right there and you prayed with them? You prayed with them. You said, "Brother, sister, let's pray about that." And you bow your head right there. And so many of us will say, "Oh, we'll pray for you. We'll pray about that." Does that time ever come for you? Or once we leave that person, we completely forget about that. Listen, as a pastor, I've had to condition myself. Man, I go through the reception line and people are greeting me, people are shaking my hand, and I've had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, you never visited me in the hospital." I was like, "Oh, when you been in the hospital?" "I was in the hospital 3 days this week." "Oh, who knew about that?" "Oh, I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to burden you." Number one, how am I supposed to pray for you? Number two, how am I supposed to be there with you, carrying your burden? Oh, you want to burden me now with guilt? Hello. You want to burden me down now with shame that I wasn't there for you? But can I tell you, I'm not God. I can only be in one place at one time, and I can barely deal with what I'm dealing with. You know what I mean? But I'm sure willing to help you. And I know the pastor gets up here much like I do. And I say to our people, listen, if you have a need, let me know. And in today's world, there's not an excuse. I mean, messages can go out in a blink of an eye. And it can go out to hundreds of people at one time. Facebook is the gossip highway of the world. No, we're asking a prayer request. Uh-huh. We've had so many of our burdens put on Facebook when we haven't even asked for them to be put on Facebook. And they've been twisted and turned to the point where they weren't even accurate. Our first child was aborted, killed, dead. And my wife was still in the hospital pregnant with her. And I won't even go through the story of when the missionary died and we rescued him from the beach. I mean, that story has been totally disproportionated. All because of one or two messages and that telephone game that someone thinks they have the answer, right? They have the news, right? Can I tell you, if we spend as much effort lifting those needs up in prayer and asking God to cover the area that we have doubts in, we don't know all of what's happening, but we should be watchful in prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying also with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Secondly, if you notice with me in verse number 8, the Bible says, and above all things, having fervent charity. Where else do you hear that? And above all, love, right? If you don't have these three, have love, right? We should be fervent in charity. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. They go hand in hand. It's hard to serve someone else whom you do not love. But love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? Love is merciful. Love suffereth, right? So we ought to be fervent in charity. Lastly, see in this point that in verse number 9, the Bible says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. We ought to be hospitable without grudging. I think of Mary and Martha. And oh, Mary was serving, wasn't she? Oh, she was given to hospitality. She wanted her house right. She wanted the meal right. She wanted everything correct. She wanted that table runner perfectly ironed, perfectly set, all the placemats and all the place settings. She wanted everything perfect. And the Bible says in Luke 10:40 that Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, is that a bad thing that she was serving? No. Very good thing. Very honorable thing. We all should be given to serving. We all should be hospitable. But it's when she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. That's how she said it, Levi. Why do I have to move all these logs by myself? Why do I have to split all the logs? Why do I have to throw trash on the fire? Why do I have to do this? I've been working all day, Isaac. And now I got to come home and empty the dishwasher. Ha! I don't know any of your other kids, so I can't tell their sins. I could sure tell a lot of my own, right? So many of us, I think, we think hospitality is a good thing. It's a worthy thing, something needful. But how many of us, when we host, we truly host with a good attitude? We truly go about hosting, preparing. We do that out of love and out of service to our Lord. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, he doesn't tell Martha that Mary shouldn't be serving. He just tells Martha that there's something more important right now. How many of you think that Jesus was big enough to make that food, to prepare that table, to set up the banquet like Martha wanted it set up? So many times he prepared and set up the banquet for those that were busy serving. Many, many accounts of that, and most obvious was when he fed the 5,000. Another time I think of is when he was trying to restore the very author of this book, Peter. After he was resurrected, right before the ascension, what did he do? He went and prepared a meal on the coals, fish that they had not caught, coals that they had not burned or started to burn. And yet when Peter finally realized that it was the Lord, he ran. He girded himself from his nakedness. And he then was restored into service for the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants to do for you and I this evening. Lastly, if you would, you'll notice in verse number 11, we ought to serve that God in all things may be glorified. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The whole reason and purpose of why we serve is so that God would get the glory, so that Christ's name would be magnified. Oh, I love the singing this evening. Can I tell you that we ought to glorify God in our praise? Glorify God in our praise. What a blessing it was for me to sit and listen to all of you lift up your voice to the Lord and just to hear how you were fully engaged and what an opportunity it is to when we request our favorites to the Lord. And then what an extra blessing it was, you know, to see that even as we begun singing, there were another 50 hands raised waiting for their request to be named known, right? It was a blessing to know that we hadn't even got three words into the song that we were singing, and there were 50 hands waiting, you know, to get their request known, you know, and that's a blessing. Revelation 5:12-13 says, the Bible says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are as in the sea and are that are and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. We ought to glorify with our praise. And I tell you this evening, we ought to glorify God with our speech. The Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oh, we ought to ask ourselves, of what comes out of our mouth. How much of the conversation truly glorifies God? Truly is seasoned as of the oracles of God? Do we truly speak the truth in love? 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's something that even those that are cursing your name and cursing God's name, if you're faithful with your speech to them and in front of them, they'll eventually say, glorify God because of what I've heard, because of what I've seen. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's great blessing that can come from our speech, but there is great shame that can be produced as well from our speech. James says, can we speak good and evil at the same time? Can we bless and curse with the same tongue? There's very few of us that can control this member that is so vile. And yet that is the testimony, and then the command that Peter gives is that then we should speak such that would glorify God. It also says then, if any man minister, let him minister as of the ability which God giveth. We ought to be glorifying God in our ministering. Glorifying God in our ministering, in our preparation, in our service, in our class that we teach, the bus route we drive, the offering we take up, the choir song and special we sing, the nursing home that hasn't asked us to come, where most of the members are asleep, and yet we're giving ourselves in service, ministering to them. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Can I tell you this evening as we close? There's something to be said about our service. And our purpose, once we're saved, is to serve. But as we close this evening, I'd ask you, how many might say, but pastor, preacher, I'm tired. I'm tired of serving. I'm tired of giving. I'm tired of getting there early and staying late. I'm tired of cleaning the church. I'm tired of mowing the grass. I'm tired of teaching. I'm tired of playing the piano. I totally get it. I understand. Much of the reason why we're here on this trip was for me. I haven't been in a good place. Now, I felt like the ministry was going well. I felt like there was fruit that was being produced. I felt like we were advancing in the work. But something inside of me was disquieted. It was unsettled. Many might equate it to being discouraged or even depressed. Some might say of a missionary that they're burnt out. Most have told me while we're home, you need a rest. I've learned rest is relative. Some would answer that, we'll rest when we get to heaven. I don't know what's heaven going to be like, but I'm sure we're still going to be busy. I'll tell you that much. So as I close this evening, can I encourage you that are tired to press on? Don't let up. Don't give up. Don't stop serving. Don't say that it's another person's job or another person's time. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So as you take what you've heard this evening along with you this week, would you determine to do good? Would you determine, because you're saved, to continue to serve? Serve through suffering. Serve being a steward of the manifold grace of God. And serve so that God would get all the glory.